Hey, I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's going to be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast. There's something in common. Good luck to you, Seacrest House.
This is the Church Acts Podcast. Hey, my friends, welcome back to the Church Acts Podcast. Let's jump right in because today I got a lot of amazing things to talk about, things that I really pray and really believe honestly will bring a lot of clarity to you. If you hear some very strange noises in the background, I'm so sorry. Like, I started the podcast, what was it, like 50, 51 episodes now ago, and I had like this nice studio space, but I have been moving around all over the place. And so today I'm working in the quintessential, like, I feel like before, like I'm doing it in reverse. I didn't pay my dues before. So I'm literally inside of a closet. I think it'll work. Maybe, maybe not. So if you hear like strange noises, it's just miscellaneous things in the closet. Anyway, when you were younger, odds are before you went outside in the winter, your parents helped you put on your snowsuit. Why? Well, because it was obviously cold outside. To this day, when the winter comes, with the exception of a few Canadians who think that wearing shorts year round is appropriate when it's super cold outside, like, for the most part, like, we layer up, right? Why? Well, the layers protect us from the elements. If you had on your snowsuit, you could last a lot longer in the wintertime than if you were just wearing some jeans and running shoes. And I know this because I don't know if I shared this on the podcast before. I remember with the radio station, before I was on air and I had a show, I was hired to do like promotions on something that we called the street team. So I would basically show up at a venue and I would like set up a tent and everything. And I remember getting a call last moment. Oh, someone's like sick or can't make it. Can you do this event? And I was like, sure. So I had these skinny jeans on back when skinny jeans were a thing. And I had these like thin shoes and it turned out to be a winter event. I think it was like past negative 30 Celsius. Oh my goodness gracious. Like in a Canadian winter there. And I was standing out there just freezing. So I learned the lesson pretty darn quick that you need to have the right equipment if you're going to be able to last in those elements. You know, we layer up in the winter and it shields us from those elements. The layers protect us. Any idea how long it takes for the average person to get hypothermia? Do you know? I was kind of curious, so I was looking this up. So the answer is minutes. In only a few minutes, if you're not dressed properly, you can get hypothermia. And if you think it has to be extremely cold for you to get it, that's not the case. So at 20 degrees Fahrenheit or around -6 Celsius, it only takes a couple of minutes for you to get hypothermia. Everywhere in life, we see barriers that protect us. We have the obvious ones like seatbelts. You know, in the case of accidents, they would keep us from flying out of like the front windshield onto the street. In the case of our houses, you know, and the locks on our doors, they keep us safe from extreme weather or even people who could want to cause us harm. We even use cases on our phones to protect them in case they fall. Or one thing that I don't understand, the cases for your AirPods case, you know, like your little headphones there. Like I'm like, I have thrown those things across the room. They are like not out of anger, just like, you know, taking stuff out of my pocket. I don't know why you need to protect your AirPods case. But anyway, we have that as well. These layers that are used for protection are not unfamiliar to us as humans. But for whatever reason, when it comes to protecting the most valuable thing we have, our hearts, you know, things like our emotions, our minds, our spirits, we throw the door wide open. I want you to remember this. When you open doors in your life, you do not get to choose what walks through them. I'll say that again. When you open doors, metaphorically speaking, in your life, you do not get to choose what walks through them. Remember those kids that you grew up with? The ones that would never drink or party or sleep around? What do people call them? Well, I know some people are like, oh, straight edge. That, like, that's right, but you'd call them like squares. Look at that person. They're such a square. Do you know where that term came from? The sense of square as a derogatory reference to someone conventional or old-fashioned dates to the jazz scene of the 1940s. And I did read that. That's why it sounded so strange. So the first known reference is from 1944, and there it applied to someone who failed to appreciate the medium of jazz, or more broadly, someone whose tastes were out of date and out of touch. So just square. Someone whose tastes were out of date and out of touch was called a square. See, it's no different from today. Don't agree with what people are doing? Oh, you're out of date. Oh, you're out of touch with the culture. Let's be honest here. As humans, we want to fit in for the most part. You know, no one wants to be singled out. So we as humans throughout the years have mastered the art of going with the flow. But here's the problem. Who controls the flow in the first place? And where is the flow taking people? Where is the flow taking us? Do we really stop and ask ourselves these questions and consider these things? So here we have the world in 2022, or whatever year you're listening to this in. We have large groups of people in deception, going with the flow. And just like a fast-moving current, its pull is so strong. So you have like this pull going on in culture. Oh, this is good. Oh, whatever you want is fine. Oh yeah, you do you. So layer by layer, or could I even say it like this, generation by generation, layers of protection are being stripped away to where now you have this generation that is up and coming, getting the doctrines of, I would even say the doctrine of demons, you know, confused with the word of God. Don't believe me? When was the last time you heard someone say, God understands, he gets it. Oh, listen, man, love is love. Do you not think that God would want me to be happy? See, that sounds good, doesn't it? God wanting us to be happy. And I'll tell you what, That is like a pretty marketable statement as well. So what happens is we go around, see, God wants you to be happy and blessed, which is true. See, that is Bible truth. Forgive the noise here. God does want to see you blessed and prospered, but we forget that God wants you to be holy as well. 1 Peter 1 verses 13 through 20, it says, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray for has no favorites. He'll judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. So many things to go over in that verse, but one of the things that I kind of was really standing out to me was temporary residents. I was talking with someone not too long ago and they're like, you know what, man? Like, I think that we need to just be easy on people. Like, you know, we just need to like, if people want to live a certain way, like that's fine. It's not my life. Like just have a great time. But here's the thing, that perspective is limited to 80 years or 85 years or however long people have here on earth. Like we are forgetting this like scope of eternity here, you know, because yeah, 80 years of fun. That sounds great. 80 years of like, oh, this is fine. Everything's good. Yeah, that's great. But what happens for eternity? You know, these are questions that we need to really wrestle with and consider as well. So what has happened here is we have generations justifying their sins in order to try and avoid the very conviction that would save them from hell. But now as a result of that, they have refused to bring up their children and then their children's children in a way that would honor the Lord. And generation by generation standards, you can see this yourself. If you don't believe me, talk to your parents, talk to your grandparents, talk to your great-grandparents. See, standards have slipped to now we have come to the point where the ones who were called to be like ambassadors for the Lord, let me say that again, the ones who supposedly, because only God knows, called to be ambassadors can stand up in front of their congregation and declare evil is good and good is evil and say, hey, you know what? Like, I think we got this wrong. Let's just omit. Let's just skip over these portions of scriptures. See, when you open doors in your life, you do not get to choose what walks through them. When you make decisions outside of God's will and plan for your life, the tendency is to do what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Mix reason with limited understanding. Oh, I know what I'm doing. Love is love. This feels right. And I'm not picking on one specific thing here. I'm just as an example, you know, but we're clouded by our pride and we don't realize that, you know, all that we see with our eyes is not all that is going on. So when we allow pride to come, deception comes and we fail to realize that what we see with our eyes is not all that is really going on. I want to take a few moments today even to talk to the leaders that are listening. Leaders does not mean just pastors, by the way. It can mean parents. It can mean leaders of households or small groups or organizations. How well do you understand that a leader is not even someone with a title, okay? There are places of work that I have seen where it's like there are people in there that even though they don't hold like manager or owner or whatever, they actually hold more weight and can affect things more effectively than the ones with official titles. Do you understand what it is that you are as a leader? You are the gatekeepers to the ones that God has placed underneath you. See, you set the tone and you set the standard. This isn't a common thing that is spoken about. And full transparency, the Holy Spirit still has a lot to show me in regard to this. So before I move on, I also want to speak respectfully to you. See, we're in this together. You know, I don't want to speak harshly or intense, but I want to drive home the importance of you as a leader. You've probably heard someone in a leadership position or maybe have experienced this yourself. Someone who said, man, I just feel like I'm so under attack or I just don't know what's going on, but I seem to be getting hit from like all sides. See, why does this happen? Why is it that the ones who are just being bombarded with things are usually in one way or another in a leadership position? Side note, you don't have to even hold the title of leader, as I said, to be a leader. There are many people and organizations that hold great influence without great titles, but what is it that the ones who are being attacked so often, like why is it that they hold this position of influence? And it's simple. See, if the enemy can get to you, if he can take the authority that you have been given, the position you have been given, then he can get to everyone and everything that is under your influence and authority. Don't believe me? Let's go back to the beginning, like the very beginning where we see this play out. So Genesis 1, chapter 1 of the Bible, verses 26 through 30, it says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They'll reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I've given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that is life. And that is what happened. See, what happened there in the first chapter of the Bible? God delegated his authority on the earth to man. So the earth, the animals, were under and subject to the authority of man. And do you know, though, who wanted that authority? That's right. Since the very beginning, the one who wanted that was the devil. So we realized, I can't get it from God, but if I can get man to sin, if I can get man to disobey God, because of God's holiness and justice, legally, spiritually, I can get what has been delegated to man in the form of authority, and I could take it as my own. So we know the story. He deceives Eve, right? But then check this out. When Adam eats, the one to whom the authority had been delegated, something happens. Genesis 3 verses 4 through 7, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. And the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. Now check this out. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. See, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them, pardon the noise, were open. He ate it. Their eyes were open. This is the exact moment when the authority was transferred to Satan. This is why we read in Matthew 4 verses 8 through 9. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, talking about Jesus, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Do you ever wonder, like, how is the devil able to give Jesus all of that? See, because it was first given to him when Adam ate the fruit and subjected humanity to the sway of the evil one, which is why Jesus was there in the first place to take it all back. So this is why Jesus had to come back, being 100% man, but 100% God, because only in that was he able to be made as a perfect sacrifice to redeem mankind. It was literally the biggest rescue mission in history, and praise God, it was successful. Okay, the point though, that I really wanted to drive home today, leaders, the enemy has been coming for you. And sometimes I get it, it is about you. But other times, the enemy is after your territory. See, if he can get you and your wife or husband to divorce, if he can get someone to fall into sin, he's going to have direct access to your kids. If you can get leadership to sin, he can then influence the followers. If he can get influential people to stand up and declare that love is love and this is okay and we're going to allow mental health issues to actually be celebrated. And if, you know, he can get those that are supposed to be protecting the body of Christ to instead succumb to sin and declare it as good, to declare blatant lies that good is evil and evil is good, then he gets direct access to everyone that falls underneath the leaders, right? God help us. See, it's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about those that we are over. You know, I served under a leader once who suffered from depression, and we were together meeting once, and I could tell that there was just like depression setting in. So I asked this person if they were okay, because it seemed like they were off, and they told me, "Hey, listen, it's none of your business how I'm doing," you know, and they kind of went like that. I'm not usually this type of person, but I said, "Actually, it is my business, because when you come in here and you're all depressed, it ends up affecting everyone else in here and it opens doors." So they like stormed out. But listen, we should respect our leadership, okay? But sometimes the truth is not easy to speak. But if we're not going to speak it, who else is? See, the enemy will hit those at the top so that he can affect everything all the way down the chain. Layers of protection. Just like with the snowsuit are important, without them, we're exposed. And just like with the snowsuit and the weather, without the proper protection, without the leader standing up, without the people praying and making sure that we're seeking God, and without, you know, the truth of the Holy Spirit guiding and guarding us, and, you know, the parents just making sure they're protecting the kids. See, we open ourselves up to deception. And remember, when you open doors in your life, you do not get to choose what walks through them. Before I close off today, I wanted to say all is not lost, not even close. I know that you're listening to this podcast because, hey, listen, God has stirred your heart in regard to things of him. And I know that you look around and can just sense that there are things that are going on that are not right. We do not have all the answers. See, a big part of why we're experiencing the results of the past generation's neglect is because past generations have by and large tried to take matters into their own hands instead of place them in the hands of God and the Holy Spirit. So do not give up hope. We need to be aware of the enemy's schemes so that we can resist him, the Bible says. And let me also encourage you, pray for those above you. Pray for your parents, for your leaders, for your bosses. Listen, I get it. They may drive you crazy, but as high up as they are in their positions, God is still above them and has influence directly over their lives. All is not lost. When we move from being passive into active, when we fulfill the role of the church and become a house of action, things will change.